God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love the healthy. He died, died to buy my sorrow. An empty grave there is to be my Savior lives. He lived, I can face tomorrow, because he lived. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Number two, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride joy he gives, but greater still the come and serve. His children's fate's uncertain, because he lives, because he lives. Prepare tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because he because he lived. And this is third, and let's make it like we feel it. And then we did across the river. I'll fight life by no one's time. Give way to I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know I'll behold the future, and life is worth the living just because. Okay, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, well, thank you for this wonderful day you've given us. Thank you for the blessings each one of us have today. And thank you for Phil and coming back from being ill in the hospital, that he's here joining us this Sunday evening. And Lord, every one of us has a reason one way or another that we can glorify the Lord in our hearts daily. Every day we come to church, and may we continue, Lord, and be with the pastor that he preaches today. In Christ's precious name, amen. And let's do one more song, page 281. What day would that will be?
Clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye, all the peace forevermore, found that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day.
Everybody's going to be bald. You know that, right? You did not know that? Did you not hear the song? There is no parting over there? Come on. That's funny, right? There's no more parting over there. There's no more. I used to part my hair. Back when I had hair, one side here and then the other side there. When we get to heaven, we're all going to be bald. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's good to see Brother Philip. And he was in the hospital for 2.5 days. We prayed for you, Brother Philip. Yeah, we prayed for you. Good to see you back there. Let's take another song. Any request? Yes, sir.
617.
617. Amen. All right, who's going to be enlisting by the end of the service? Amen. verse 2.
Oh Christ, the Lord of hill and plain, o'er which our traffic runs amain, by mountain pass or valley low, wherever, Lord, our brethren go, protect them by thy guarding hand from every peril.
And verse 3.
Oh, Spirit of the Father's head, to spread abroad the firmament, wind of heaven by thy might, save all who dare the eagle's flight, and keep them by thy watchful care from every peril in the air.
Amen. Amen. Who's going to be enlisting next tomorrow? Amen. That's good. Patriotic songs. We'll take one more request. One more.
397.
Then we'll have the ushers come after this. 397. Amen. Verse 1.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy, and then I heard the Savior speaking, draw from water shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Verse 3 now.
So my brother, in the things this world gave me, leave honors that save you. If you kneel to him and humbly pray, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Amen. Thank you. First Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to go straight ahead into our lesson tonight. The weather is wonderful out there. I want to give you at least an hour or two of what's left of the sunlight. Amen? But then that depends on how long I teach and preach tonight. Amen? First Corinthians chapter 6, looking at one verse, and that will be verse 13. Very unique topic tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. Amen? But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand this one verse that has multiple applications and multiple teachings and lessons in it. May the Holy Spirit be the teacher. You clarify my thoughts and purify my heart to teach this to your people, that they may grow thereby, that they might learn and practice their Christian lives according to the Bible and not according to what man tells them to do so. Thank you for your holy word. That's our lesson tonight. Pray for those that are not here with us because of any illness or sickness that stopped them from coming here. Or those that are busy, I pray, Lord, that you bless them equally as they're not here with us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Continuing on our exposition now, if you're new to our Sunday evening service and Wednesday night service, by the way, this Wednesday I've asked my brother to teach or preach for us this coming Wednesday. He's going to be getting deployed for 2 months again. I know he likes to teach and preach, so I gave him a chance to preach this coming Wednesday. He doesn't have to go through Corinthians, but if God tells him to go through Corinthians, it's up to him and how God, the Holy Spirit, deals with him. And then the following week, it's going to be Brother Romel is going to be preaching for you that coming Wednesday, because I will be at work. I'll be up in the Magic Mountain area. I won't be able to come down here. But verse 13, actually verse 12 first, we've talked about Christian liberty. Okay, we said that we talked about the constraints of Christian liberty and then the danger with abusing Christian liberty and imposing that Christian liberty against other people to the point that the ones that have already been freed from bondage can be placed back into bondage. That's where we left off last Wednesday night. We said how before your salvation, before you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you were in bondage to sin and the penalty of it. But praise God, because of His Son Jesus Christ, we have been freed from that bondage, remember? But if we are not careful, that liberty, that salvation that the blood of Jesus Christ has given us, that liberty can be used to bring us right back into bondage. Okay, when we become, when Christianity begin to become legalistic, and we begin to apply the touch not and the handle nots in the Christian life, and we begin to impose our conscience against the conscience of other people, then we're placing them back right into bondage. Okay, that's where we left off. If you want the verses for that, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, chapter 10, verse 29, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and that's for those of you that missed it. Your liberty can be turned right into bondage according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. That's for those of you that missed it. When we get to verse 13, notice the wording of your Bible. It says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats. In chapter 8 of Corinthians, he begins to deal with issues of whether to eat or not to eat food that is offered unto idols. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's see here. Let's look at starting with verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Let's see here. Slide down all the way to verse 8. Look at verse 8. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. He deals with that issue later on in chapter 8. But to the Christian, Paul is teaching a concept here, as the Corinthian church were arguing, well, there are certain things that we can't eat, and if you eat that stuff, you're unspiritual. And if you don't eat that stuff, you are spiritual. Well, let's go back to what the Bible says. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 22. See, those prescriptions for what to eat and what not to eat was established under the law. Go to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 22. One example here, Leviticus chapter 7, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Are you there? Yeah. Leviticus 7. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, ye shall eat no manner of fat of ox, of fat, comma, of ox, comma, or of sheep, or of goat. And the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beast, may be used in any other usage, in any other use. But ye shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, when they made, in Leviticus chapter 1 through 6, talks about the different types of sacrifices and offerings. And there are different ways to offer a goat, a peace offering, a sin offering, a meat offering, a burnt offering. When you get to the burnt offering, when they perform a burnt offering, how many of you ever have ever seen a roasted pork impaled on a steak with an apple in its mouth, and it's being cooked over fire? Okay, lechon. Right? Zevia is raising her hand. The first thing that gets cooked when you do that, well, they skin them first. They take out the hair, right? They would shave the hair sometimes. But sometimes they don't, because the hair kind of just burns by itself. But after the hair is burnt, the skin of the pork, what's underneath the skin? The fat is. And oh, I'm salivating just thinking about it. But for some people, that's gross, right? It's unhealthy. There's that biblical prescription there. Don't eat that stuff, okay? That's according to the Bible. Now, in the Levitical law, God ordained a prescribed diet for the Israelites as they were traveling for a reason, okay? Let's slide down now to chapter 10, okay, of Leviticus. Chapter 10, verse 8. Oh, all the Filipinos are getting excited. calm down, relax. Verse 10, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and the clean. Now go to chapter 11. Okay? In chapter 11, he gives the prescription, a very detailed prescription of what animals they could eat and what animals they should not eat. Okay? Look at verse 1. Verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat. Among all the beasts that are on the earth. So you can't eat meat. Right? There's a fad. Our modern culture is into fad diets. You know? And they think that there is this one prescribed way that will solve every health problem, right? And every year, every decade, there's always a new fad diet. I remember when the Atkins diet came out. How many remember the Atkins diet? Dr. Atkins came up with this diet that if you follow the Atkins diet, it will solve your health problems. And then after the Atkins diet came up, South Beach. There you go, another one. Another one that I was kind of following is the where you eat nuts and nothing that's not cooked. That's all you eat. Everything that the caveman could not eat it, you shouldn't be eating it. The paleo diet, okay? The paleo diet, that's what they call it. I got into that paleo diet too, and it, you know, helped thinking that I would lose weight based on the paleo diet and live a healthier life. I don't know what's modern now in 2017, but there's all kinds of diets. Amen. The beach body, the summer's coming up. A lot of people, they try to say, well, I want to get my beach body. I have a few months to get ready for summer. Get my six pack. All kinds of diet come up. The vegetarian diet, that's a fad too. Among people that try to live a healthy life and among somewhat religious people, okay? The spirit is spiritual people, they say... Pescatarian, vegetarian, you name it. There's all kinds of different ways. Herbalife. There's Herbalife. Herbalife diet. There's, you know. But one thing they never tell you is this. You could have a set prescribed way of a diet, but if the person does not have the discipline to obey that diet, it does not matter what kind of diet you have. Amen. Amen. But look at the prescription to the Jews and under the Levitical priesthood. These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Chicken. Right? Yeah. That's chicken. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide a hoof as the camel. Because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He can't eat camel. He's unclean unto you. And a coney. Because what's a coney? I don't know what that is.
Rabbits.
The bunnies. Shall I eat? Thank you. Because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you, the hare. Okay? The swine, look at verse 7. Amen? The swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean unto you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean unto you. Now, when you get to the water creatures, how many of you like seafood, right? If you like seafood, let's talk about seafood now. Water creatures.
These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, and in the rivers, and in the seas, them shall ye eat. Fish. Right? And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. Okay. They shall be even an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you. Say goodbye to hometown, amen? And lobster grill. Let's talk about the birds. You ready? Talk about the birds. Which birds can you eat and can you not eat? Verse 13. And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. Okay? The eagle. The ossifrage. I don't know what that is. The osprey. The vulture. The kite after his kind. The raven. The owl. The night hawk. The cuckoo, what's that? The cuckoo, the owl, the great owl, the swan, the pelican, the stork, the heron, the lapwing, and the bat. All fowls that creep going upon all four shall be an abomination unto you. Let's add to it the flying, creeping things. Okay? Yet these may ye eat. This one threw me off when I was reading this. That goeth upon all fours, they have legs, which have legs upon above their feet to leap withal upon the earth. The things that hop. Even these of them ye may eat. The locust. Wow. The beetle. The grasshopper. That's it. Of all the other things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. Right? Creeping things. Let's talk about creeping things. Things that crawl. Like shrimp and lobster. Right? Sorry. These also shall be unclean unto you. Among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel. Who would want to eat a weasel anyway? We saw in our backyard, we saw, what was that, kids? That white thing? No. The possum. We saw a possum in our backyard. It looked like a huge rat. It's a rat, but it's the size of a cat. Okay, it's got eyes that glare, that glow in the dark, and it was looking at me. So I shot it with a BB gun in the forehead, because they're scavengers. They eat like trash and stuff, and don't eat that stuff. Okay, look, the mouse, the tortoise, the chameleon, the lizard. I've had an iguana when I was younger. The snail. The mole. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Wow. Amen. And not only that, if you find any dead animal on the street, you don't. You know, we're not vultures that eat, that prey on dead animals. If you eat a dead animal on the street, that's considered unclean. Yeah. Amen. Now, all these things, when I was going through chiropractic school, through my basic medical sciences, I learned that there's a reason why all of these dietary prescriptions and restrictions were there. Most diseases, if you live in the desert, can be you'll contract, or if you live in the forest, you can contract by eating certain animals. Okay, pork, for example,
Well, there's a health reason why God told the nation of Israel to not eat pork. Is it's called trichinosis pyralis. It lives inside the meat of the pork, and it does not matter how you cook it or how well you cook it. It forms a spore. A spore is the most basic DNA of this organism that lasts and withstands cooking. Okay? So you have a basic DNA strand inside that spore and lives inside the meat of the pork. Now, once that spore is placed into the right medium of water and minerals and vitamins, that DNA can use the meat's, if you eat it, it will use your own your own cell's ability to reproduce. The DNA will take over your cells and live inside your cells and multiply, and then you get this trichinosis. Okay? In beef, you have E. coli, okay, the foot and mouth disease, common in third world countries. Several centuries ago, an epidemic of the mad cow disease occurred, okay? Salmonella in poultry, if you eat chicken and you don't cook it right, especially the chicken legs, that salmonella virus will it lives in that chicken. And if you wash your chicken without gloves, it will live on your skin. Okay? So you wear gloves when you're washing your chicken. Make sure you soap your hands properly. If you eat lamb, there's this sickness called scrapie. You begin to itch all over your skin because of this virus that lives in lamb. If you like to store canned foods and eat off of canned foods, you got to check and make sure it's not bloated. If it's a bloated canned food, you know what you have in there? You have Clostridium botulinum or botulism. Okay, that's why you have to check the expiration of the can, because there's bacteria that can live in there. It can grow in there. So God has a reason. He wasn't just being legalistic and say, well, don't eat this because I said so. Don't eat that because I said so. No, there's a reason for it. It was to protect the nation of Israel as they were going through the wilderness. Okay? But a lot of these principles can practically be applied to the modern times. Amen? Let's go back to our text. Now, in the New Testament, go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Going hand in hand with his teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holiday, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Now back to our text. Looking at that verse, when you go back to our text, then you'll understand the Bible says meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it, the stomach, and them, the food, the meat. But what's important is this. Now the body is not for fornication. Later on in chapter 7, you have to be in prayer for this. We're going to be talking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Yes, Brother Ermel. No, I'm about to go there, actually. Thank you, Brother Romel. Let's go to Acts chapter 10, which answers Brother Romel's question. Spiritually, go to Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 15. This is Peter... going on a
trance when he was hungry. Look at verse 10. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him, a plate. There was a plate that was coming down, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, like a serving plate comes down, wherein were all manner of what? Four-footed beast of the earth, and wild beast, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." He knew the Levitical law. Okay, so I'm not going to eat any of that. Those things that you're presenting to me, they're Levitical law. They're unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And the same, he gives an account of the same story in chapter 11. And he tells them about the vision that he saw when he was in a trance. So some people would look at that verse and says, well, look, the prohibition and the restrictions in the Levitical law was the Old Testament, right? In the New Testament, does it apply? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. What does that say? But all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So he goes back to the same topic that he had in verse 12, which came before verse 13. Look at verse 12 again of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What does it say? All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And he applies that rule to dietary restrictions. And the point is, no, we if you are going to, or the question was, does that apply to us? No, it's for us who are saved, it's no longer a restriction. We are not bound by the law. For the Jews and the Israelites, it was a law to them. Thou shalt not eat. For us, the law does not apply. But there is something that guides us in choosing whether what we're going to do is right or what is wrong. And what is that? Expediency. Remember the four things that I talked about? Things may be lawful, but does it edify? Things may be lawful, but does it cause someone to stumble? Things may be lawful, but is it expedient? Things may be lawful, but does it place me under control or under the power? Remember that? Or is it addicting? Amen? If it's any of those four things, don't do it. Now, it doesn't specify which things are those, but the Bible just gives you the guidelines. When it comes to the Christian living and practice, it doesn't tell you don't do this, don't do that. No, it gives you the guidelines. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So when it comes to diet, if you ever get invited to a birthday party and they serve lechon, that roasted pork, and they chop it up, and they put an apple inside the mouth of that, and they glaze it with honey, and they cut you a slice of it, and they hand it to you, and you know your health condition, that you are in a high under high cholesterol meds, should you take it or should you not? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's true Christian liberty. Amen? Knowing, if you know you're going to have a heart attack if you eat that stuff, why would you eat that stuff? Amen? Now, if you're a teenager, let's say if you're a teenager, some of you teenagers have cravings for blueberry cheesecake, right? You think anything's going to happen to a teenager if they were to eat 5 slices of blueberry cheesecake? Absolutely nothing. Teenagers can eat dirt and still be healthy. Amen? For those of us that are older, we can't say the same. Amen? So what's the rule then? Yes, Brother Ramel.
I read a book written by a Christian. He was a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. So they put to the test, you know,
the diet. Right.
But if I had my choice,
I'd rather not. There you go. Do you understand Christian liberty? That's what Christian liberty means. The prescription and the restriction in the Old Testament, if you apply it today, I bet you a lot of Americans will be healthy. I think all of us will be healthy. We get rid of a lot of these diseases and sicknesses. Have you ever looked at the Jews, how they lived and all of the persecutions that they suffered? How did that race survive? 40 years in the wilderness. 3 years in Egypt? It's longer than that. Under the diets of Egypt, Daniel's reign. Remember Daniel? When Daniel was offered a food with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said, no, I'd rather eat pulse and bread. And prove me, he said, prove me. If we're healthier than following your diet, then my God is right. But if you find us less wiser and less healthier because we're not obeying your diet, then kill us. That was a pretty hard challenge, but guess who won? Amen? So yes, on the spiritual sense, we're freed from the law, but on a practical sense, it's good to obey the law. Amen? It's like the concept of the Sabbath. We're not bound by Sabbath. But if you practice resting, dedicating one day out of your week to just don't do anything, just rest. In Japan, where there is no day off, people work 6 days a week. They don't have a Sunday. There's no such thing as Sunday where you take time off, just spend time with your family, catch up with your laundry. There's no such thing. They all work. They have the highest suicide rate. Think about that. So, yeah, we're not under the law of the Sabbath, but the principle of rest was placed by God for us. Amen? For those of you workaholics like me, you better listen and take heed. Your body needs to rest. Your mind needs to rest. Your spirit needs to rest. If you're the kind of person who is a type A personality, your word all week long, you got to give your mind a rest. You got to give your spirit a rest from all of those worries. Because in the long run, you know what happens? You know what's the number one cause of cancer? And heart attack, and diabetes. People say, oh, you ate too much sugar. Oh, people say,
Have you watch kids? This, that little guy right there, he ate half a bag of Twix. Half a bag of Twix, the Costco bag. Okay? Do you see him with diabetes? Not yet, but the truth is there's one thing that's that causes more that's more responsible for diabetes, and unfortunately it's not diet, it's your stress. Okay, it's your stress level. Let me tell you one thing medically, scientifically, that stress does. When your body is stressed emotionally, financially, mentally, you're mentally stressed, your body produces these things called free radicals. Okay. What free radicals are free floating ions. You know, ions are, you know how there's a positive and then there's a negative in electrons? A positive must always go with a negative. Okay? If not, you must always have two electrons to go with it to make it stable. A freestanding electron, which is a negatively charged electron, sorry. Are you listening, Israel? That's called a free radical. The higher the stress, the more free radicals that are free-floating in your blood. Okay? Those free radicals, they scratch the lining of your blood vessels. Okay? So you have a scratched-up lining of blood vessels. So your body begins to collect more cholesterol to patch up the lining, the inner lining of your blood vessels. So your body produces more cholesterol naturally to patch up the damage of the free radicals. So if you were to get a blood work, you know what you would have? An elevated cholesterol. And the medical doctor would prescribe you a cholesterol lowering drug. Wrong. Why? The body's producing more cholesterol to patch up the effect of the production of free radicals. It's patching up the scratch up lining of your blood vessels. Okay? That gets into your heart, into your blood vessels, you have a coronary heart attack. But the cause was stress. Same thing with cancers. Free radicals, they would trigger these things called proto-oncogenes. Proto-oncogenes are genes that are existing. Everybody has it. Okay? Everybody has it. But the cell of the human body has checkpoints. The body has checkpoints that tells them, okay, stop making cells. If you made more cells, you're going to turn into cancer or tumor. Free radicals are introduced. It awakens the proto-oncogenes. Onco means cancer. Proto means before cancer. Proto-oncogenes produces cancer. Okay? So what do you have? Stress causing high cholesterol, diabetes, high blood pressure, and cancer. Amen? So you need to give your mind and your bodies a rest. How do you combat that? I'm sorry to turn it into a whole medical session, but does it help you? Understanding it? Then it edifies, right? It edifies. How to reverse it? Vitamin C, antioxidants, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin A, and more importantly, laughter and joy. Laughter and joy. What does Proverbs say? A merry heart is what? Is like a medicine. Okay? Amen. Amen? If you have all kinds of sickness, you better maybe it's your spirit. Amen. Maybe it's your lack of joy. Amen. We need to close. Look at verse 13 again. But God shall destroy at the end of the day, it really does not matter. Because God shall destroy both it, both the body, the stomach, and them, the food. Here's the principle.
Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. He goes back to what he said in chapter 3, verse 16. He says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Remember that? In chapter 3? "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." Amen? Him shall God destroy. Look at verse 19 of our text. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, for which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price," verse 20, "therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So many pastors and missionaries forget that. They think that as long as they're walking daily in spirit, they're reading their Bible, they're ministering to their congregations, they think that they got it down, and they would suddenly die of a heart attack. They suffer from, in reality, guess who suffers? Who really suffers when we don't take care of this physical flesh? Who really suffers, do you think, in the long run? Number one, we do. Hospitalization is painful. If I don't have to see a medical doctor, I would not. I don't know about you, I don't like getting shots. I don't like taking drugs. I don't like taking medicine. If I won't. First, we suffer. Secondly, think about the fiduciary consequence of that. The time away. And then if you die of a sickness, guess who's going to suffer? Your family. It's like one of my motivations to stay healthy is I want to see my kids grow old. I want to be with my wife. I want to grow old with my wife. I can't do that if I suffer from all kinds of sicknesses because of my own irresponsibility and lack of self-control. See, I'm not. It's not being a hypocrite. This is applicable to all of us. Amen. When we neglect the temple of the Holy of God, it's not just us that suffer. A lot of times, it's also our family members that suffer. If you've lost a loved one, you know. You suffer. It's almost. I've dealt with people that are wanting to commit suicide, and I've had. One, two, three co-workers that committed suicide. All three of them are married with kids that are small. You know what I say? I didn't tell them that because I didn't get a chance to tell them that. But in my mind, you know, I was thinking they're selfish. They're selfish. They're trying to get away from the hardships of this life, but they're not thinking about those that are left behind. Amen? My old partner of mine, he's about 39, not that much older than me. Two daughters. Okay, he was caught cheating with another one of my co-workers. He gets arrested for... some sexual crime. Before he turned himself in, he books himself into a hotel. His arm shoots himself in the hotel. Guess who had to arrange the funeral? The poor wife. Guess what do you tell the kids? Amen. What would you tell the kids? You can't tell anything to the kids. It's speechless. Just give them a hug. Give them financial support. Amen? Those are things you have to think about. I hope you learned something today. Amen. Certain and a sad note, but this is how we grow, right?
This is where you grow. Let's close in prayer. Is there anything? Yes, Sister Mary? Oh, yes. John Young. Pray for John Young, Sister Mary's brother-in-law, right? Brother-in-law for seizures. My coworker, the most recent one that passed away not too long ago, died of seizures. He had a heart attack while he was having a seizure. He was 34 years old. Pray for John Young. Okay. We'll continue on. Our lesson in 1 Corinthians. This is very practical teaching. The book is very practical teaching. You continue to pray for me to be able to deal with. There's issues in the up and coming lessons on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. It gets very touchy. It's just like this one here tonight. It gets very touchy for a lot of people. But there is no better place to deal with these issues than in the church.
Amen.
Amen. When I was at my dad's house today, I overheard my brother-in-law talking to a visitor friend of theirs, talking about, I think I shared with this you before, they're talking about how to raise up kids again. I was so tempted to intervene and say something to them that I said, nah, they're not saved. They don't know any better. But here in the Church of God, best place.
Amen.
Best place to deal with these issues that you and I face on a day-to-day basis. Amen. We can avoid them and just sing Kumbaya and make this always a very happy place. Amen. But yes, Brother Mel. Guidance of the Holy Scripture. This is our guide. Okay, I don't know everything. I by no means do I know everything. But looking back at my life, I can share with you with this as a testimony. I never thought I would become a pastor, but I look back at my life. The science background, the health. Being a chiropractor, being in the law enforcement field for 11 years now, having gone to law school for 2 years, Bible seminary for however long, I look at everything in the past, and then God brings people into my life, and then I see the opportunity to use what I've learned to help other people. It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, thank you, Brother Mel. This is the place. Don't. If there's a private question that you don't feel comfortable asking, like in front of everybody else, just talk to me about it. We'll set up a date. We'll have. I speak with some of the couples in here in a private, setting with my wife sometimes, and just me sometimes just over the phone. I'm open. If I don't call you back, it's because I don't have my phone. It's in the locker, and I won't be able to answer you after 16 hours after you called me because I'm at work or something like that. But I will call you though. I will call you. I will call you back. I will return that call if you give me a missed call, a text, or even an email. I do. I will make my efforts to call you back. Amen? So,
Yes, sister.
I'll see.
What's his name?
Sing Young.
Sing Young? Also, on the bulletin, if you don't have it, Sister Fran and Sister Mary's phone numbers are in here. I know some issues are pertinent to ladies, you know, that, I don't know if you're, I can't imagine, you're a lady and there's an issue that I think, that you think a lady would be better be able to communicate, be able to minister to you. Sister Fran's number, my wife, you know her number, Sister Mary's number, it's on this. Or just any general prayer request is on the bulletin. And if there's anything that you want them to pass on to me or to anyone of the trustees or whoever, don't hesitate to call, okay? Don't hesitate to call an email. I'm busy, but I'm not too busy. I'm not too busy for anybody. Amen? Let's close it. Let's sing a song and then we'll close. $4.93. Stand to your feet, please. We'll just sing one verse and we'll close the prayer. Verse 1. Brother Jerry, would you lift up your voice and close us in prayer, please? Amen, amen. We'll see you folks on Wednesday. It's okay.